What a great privilege it is to stand here and preach the Word of God. It's a privilege. It's something that I never thought I'd be doing all my life. I never thought that'd be something that I'd have that privilege, but it is a privilege. And I thank you. I thank you for being here. I thank you for allowing me to share the Word with you. It's because it's God's Word. It's not Jim's Word. It's God's Word. And that's what I always want people to hear, want you to see. I always want you to take it to Him. You know, that's the one thing. You get so trusting in people and what they say and how they do it. It's not about people. It's about Him. Always take whatever God speaks to you about, let the Holy Spirit guide you in what you believe, how you see it, and how it impacts your life. And this morning, I want to talk about some things that I really hope speak to your heart. And that's why I want every one of us to pay attention just for a little bit. I know that that's hard on some of you, you know, pay attention. But I want to do that this morning for just a brief moment so that maybe you'll hear what God's saying. That's what's so important. Questions. I love questions. You don't know anything unless you ask questions. I mean, and I'm asking a question this morning because I think God already knows the answer, but I don't know it. But I'm hoping that maybe we stop and we'll think about it for a minute. What would you say qualifies as success in your Christian life? Now, there's a lot of heartache going on today. College football took off, and you know, and there were winners, there were losers, there was great upsets, there was all these kind of things. In some people's eyes, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm not a big Alabama fan. I know some of you are. I just think it's a little ridiculous, though. You play a junior high team, and you beat the fire out of them, and then you get up and say that it wasn't a successful outing. Okay, well, call somebody else into play, you know. But, I mean, not satisfied. But that's why he's one of the great coaches in America today. That's why they win every year. And he wasn't satisfied with the results. He wasn't satisfied with the output that his players made. I want to go, what'd you want to beat him? 100-0? You know, so, but anyway. And then there are those that got by, squeaked by, and, you know, they were just absolutely thrilled that they didn't get beat. You know, that's fine too. But they all have to define what success is. Now, sometimes in that kind of coaching situation, there are other people that define success for you. You know, they're the ones are the ones that oversee the program. And if they don't think you're being successful by their definition, you lose your job. You know, it's just what happens. But this morning, I'm more interested in, well, you see your personal life as successful. How do you see what you do as a Christian and how that impacts the way you live, the things you say, the places that you go? Would you describe your life as a Christian as being successful? Now, I'm not saying that it's maybe you have a standard that is so high that it's perfection and you're not there. Well, look around. Nobody else is either. All right? Paul made some very interesting comments about what he considered success. He said, all my life I've worked so hard to preach the Word of God, and I'm not there yet. I haven't arrived, so I'm going to strive on to the end. I'm going to do that. So you see, it's not just us. I love it when someone that's I know has walked with the Lord for a long time and comes and makes a statement to me like that. And I think I let this down. I think I did this way back. I'm going, by every indication, if we could compare ourselves to somebody else, we would say, wow, they were a great success. But since there's only one standard this morning, and his name is Jesus, that is how I want us to look at the walk that we have. I want you to look at who you are as a person. And why did God save you? For what reason? Now, I will let you know this right off, that God's salvation is perfect. What he did was perfect, okay? When he saved you, he brought back perfection. You were cleansed from all sin. Everything was taken care of. He did it for me. He did it for every one of us. Have we walked in that perfection? Have we walked in that? No. Probably not. But that doesn't mean that salvation wasn't perfect. And every work that God does in our lives brings us closer and closer and closer to what God wants to say, you have a successful life, a successful Christian life. So if you take your Bibles this morning, we're going to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Famous passage, practically to me, one of the most practical scriptures in the entire Bible, because it came from a man that I feel was exactly that too, one of the most practical preachers in the Word of God, because he was basing all of this. We wouldn't understand the Gospels. Could you imagine we just had four? Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John. We just had that, but we didn't have all the things that the other apostles did, the acts of those apostles. What would it have been like if we didn't have the works of a St. Paul? What would it be like? If the Apostle Paul hadn't shared things with us that were practical, we'd be really far behind. Our walk with Jesus would be so short-sighted, we'd be stumbling around all the time. But Paul shares some things in the sixth chapter, and I'm going to begin at verse number 10 here in a moment. But he's trying to point out to us that the Christian life is real. Now, I know people say, well, you're just putting this on. I said, no, it's not just real. It's hard. It's arduous. It's difficult. It's a life that we live that is full of dangerous conflicts every day. It's not something that I overcame a big battle and we could all hoop it up and say, hey, high five and all this is great. Paul said, what Jesus did in your life, he put something in there that you have to work every single day of your life from here on out to make it a success. Every day. It can't be just, oh, I got it once and for all, and that's as good as it gets. No, it's an everyday thing. It's an everyday work that God has privileged us to do, like the privilege of speaking to you. God has given you the privilege of sharing the very word that he's placed in your heart. This is the application, if you will. This is what he's trying to do. And it comes by his grace and his grace alone. Now, but let me make it very clear. This is not a work salvation. Your work has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation was already established, and it was done on a cross. It's by faith through grace that we received the very work, the blood atonement that Jesus gave. It's not about anything that we do, but the very evidences, the virtues, the manifestations of all the things of our Christian life is based upon, oh, spontaneous combustion. I'm being facetious. If you couldn't catch that, you're really so. It's called work. It's a dirty word. But in the Christian life today, everything that we do should show the world, should show our Lord, that we are willing to work out our salvation every single day. We received it by faith, which was a gift from God to start with. He put it into us. And he said, but at the one point, he said that God's grace or his faith placed in us coincided with our very lives. And what did he come up with? I put it in you, now I want you to work it out. with fear and trembling. I want to see you work out what I have already put in you. I want to see you do something. Think about it. Patience. Yeah, right. Okay. Maybe I better find another word. But we all know that maybe we don't all know what it takes to have patience. What does it take? It takes a deliberate resignation to whatever situation is ahead of us. We just have to realize that's what we're here doing, and we have to have patience. How about joy and happiness? Where do they come from? It's a determination that I want God's blessings continually brought up in my life every moment of every day. That's how you get joy. That's how you get happiness. That's what my life abandoned unto God brings. All of those things right there. What does the Word of God say? God is near those that do what? That draw nigh unto Him. That's who He's really right beside. The devil flees from those who resist Him. Yeah, there you go. Somebody's been reading their Bible. The goal, the great goal, is reached by those who lay hold on it. These are words that Paul used over and over and over again. The victory is achieved by them that fight the good fight of faith. That's how it comes about. So in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, beginning at verse number 10, Paul says, "Finally, my brother." They were probably saying, "Lord, I'm glad you finally got to finally." Must be like all preachers say, "I just got one more thing to say," and I think it's how many chapters come after that. Anyway, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Could you imagine all the things that were given to us from the first thing that he said to the Ephesians all the way into the sixth chapter? He finally says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Woo! He said, there's a real devil. And he's something else. We need to do this to make sure that we don't come under the attack that we cannot bear. He says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And we have plenty of that today. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in an evil day, and having done all, to stand." You've done what God called you to do. Do everything that He has called you to do, having done all, to stand. "Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit." Those two items hand in hand. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then the real one, the one that tops everything off. I don't know why Paul didn't put it at the very first. I think he was getting to a climax. He said, "Now I'm going to lay out the big shot right here." "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Everything that he said spoke to one thing. It's a real life. Christianity is a real thing. It's something you got to work at. You have to work it. It didn't happen one time you prayed and you asked Jesus to come into your life. And I'm not saying you weren't sincere. But after that prayer, what did you do from there on out? What has happened in your life that indicates to anybody, and especially to the one that said that you claim as your Savior, what have you done that says, "I am successful in my Christian walk"? You know, the Bible's full of exhortations. I mean, they're everywhere you turn. But the exhortation is to an active Christian life, not a passive one. You know, some people are just lazy. The way I see their Christian walk, I see a lazy Christian I say, God didn't do that for saved you so that you could be lazy. He did this for us to be active. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You go after him. You seek him every day. You ask him about anything and everything that he has in life. All these things that Paul's talking about here in this chapter, it just doesn't get done just because you prayed and you saw it one time. And then just because of all the things that take place in our lives, every single day is a fight. You may not realize it. Pearl Harbor. I wasn't alive. It did not impact me like it did some people. But what has impacted me was what we talked about 20 years ago. That impacted me. I was alive. I witnessed it. I know exactly where I was when the plane flew into the tower. I can speak to that. It's evident in my mind. How can I speak to what God has done in my heart? Is that as impactful as any of those other great events that have taken place in your life? Is it at the forefront of your thoughts? If it's not, then you're not speaking about a successful life. You're not speaking to what God has done. Tell me the time that you let down your guard, and I'll tell you the time that you lost out. I'll tell you the time that you messed up. Anytime we let down the guard, we have messed up. Because we're fighting something that is superhuman. We're fighting with someone that has a human intelligence far beyond ours. And we call him the devil. He is our supernatural foe who knows how to combat against us every single day. And the only way to stand and fight is simply do that. God has weapons for us. But if we don't tap into those weapons, we lose every day. Only God can do the work that we need done. You can only be a victor over temptation when you turn your life to him and let God provide the way of escape that he said, I've got for you. Now, if you try to do it on your own, you're going to get whipped. That's a simple thing. They're just going to beat the fire out of you. Because we do not have the strength outside of the Spirit of God within us to take on Satan. So you see, the battle's out there. In fact, to me, we need to understand what it requires to be prepared for that battle. You say, well, I just don't see a battle. Lord, open the eyes. Open our eyes that we may see what's coming our way. You know, we can walk through this world and be oblivious to things that's going around us all the time. Well, it didn't happen to me. I wasn't in New York when the towers fell. You know, the statement was made in New York, actually, by a young lady at the U.S. Open this week, and talking about the resilience of New Yorkers. And, of course, that got a lot of, woohoo, look at us, look what we did. And rightfully so in so many ways. But who should get the applause for what has happened to us? We fight battles just like that every single day, but hopefully you don't go around high-fiving yourself. Hopefully you can see that, what does it take? Well, I know first it takes an adequate preparation to fight a battle. It's something that God, he says in verse number 10, be strong in the Lord. Have you got that? Be strong in the Lord. Did you hear what I said? Be strong in the Lord. That you're not going to be strong in you. You've got to be strong in him. He's got to be the one that's standing up within you. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's our source of energy. And it's a source of energy that's outside of us that God said by his Spirit, I want to put it in you so that what is in you can go out and take on this problem that's over here. But if you don't ever go over here and get the power over here, you're never going to fight the fight over here. You might as well send Mercer back over to Alabama to get cleaned up on again. You're right, I don't like Alabama. Don't tell Dave Kistler that, I'll be in trouble with him again. Preparation requires the appropriation of God's dynamic energy in us. We have to appropriate what the Spirit puts in us to fight the fight. Do you know there's not one fight that you've ever faced in your life that God was not the overcomer in already? There's nothing. He says, I'm not going to let you be tempted above that you're able to bear, but will with a temptation offer your way of escape. But he says, I will empower you to face what I have allowed to come into your life by my grace, by the strength that I am putting in you, not on your own, but by my. Paul's description of warfare and description of the armament that he gave, it reminds me that I may be like a, anybody remember the bubble boy? Remember that on TV? They had the kid that lived in a bubble because he had no resistance. He had none of that. Well, I don't want to say you live in a bubble, but I want to say that God's armament that he puts on you is like that. A sphere of strength all around us. There's no gap in that strength if you put it all on. But what did he say? Put on the whole armor of God. Well, I think I'm going to do that, but I'm not going to wear a helmet. Well, if somebody got hard heads enough, I probably would be okay. Oh, I don't think I want to have anything to protect my feet. Achilles thought that's the very same thing until the arrow hit him, and it killed him. I'm going to put on part of it. You know, that armament's awfully heavy. I thought his burdens were light myself. But he said, I'm going to give you all of those things, but you have to put them on. They're there for us, but every one of us knows that we have to put them on. We're surrounded by that sphere. We're protected. But it's not a one-time thing. You don't get it all at one time, and that's fitted for the rest of your life. It's made available to you at the moment we're saved. But every single day is a warfare, and every single day I have to determine to take my shield of faith. I have determined to take my sword of the Spirit. I got to determine in my life to put on my helmet of salvation. I have to do those things every single day. Because if I don't do those things, as God's provided, he said, you'll walk in the victory. Everything will be fine if you put these things on. It's daily. It has to be repeated all the time. Put on. What does he say in verse number 11? Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So what good is it to have it if you don't put it on? I just wish I had a life jacket on. I wouldn't have drowned. Brilliant. I wish I had listened to what God was saying. Paul said, I'm not giving you an option. This is a command. It's handed down by someone that ought to know. This is not the time to mess around. It's not the time to think about, well, I'll be okay. I'll just do this later. No, it's none of those kind of. It says you need to do it, and you need to do it right now. Because we never know when Satan's going to attack. You don't know when he's going to attack. Well, he might do this to me. He might do that. He can do it any time, day, night. It doesn't make any difference. He knows when to do it, and he will do it. He'll attack, and what do you have? Well, if you didn't put on the whole armor, you're in trouble. If you didn't put on everything, and that's why Paul's making an absolute command. You don't know, but God knows. That's why the full armor of God has to be put on us every single day. There can't be one area in your life that's unprotected. Because when it's unprotected, that's where he hits. You know, it's not a fight about good and evil. We already know who's good and we know who's evil. Though this is a full frontal assault. This is Omaha Beach. This is the place that we are going to fight. We're going to fight against one of the most powerful external supernatural powers that the world has ever known, the angel of light. But the fight is not me against that. It's the spirit that lives within me against that. We are overcomers by his grace. We are the ones that go and can win every time if we go in his strength. Not to brag about me, because there's nothing good about to brag about. You can't go over and say, look how strong I am. Look how I did this. What did you do? If you did, it wasn't really worth noting. Satan doesn't take notice of those kind of things. Satan has a chance to, he shows his craftiness, he shows his strategies, and he is an expert of doing the things that he does to make you fall. All of us are in a critical position today, every one of us. But it's coming first to us to hold fast the position that God has given us. And the only way that you do that is by preparing. If I don't drink a little of this, I won't get done. You know, they always said about a water well, hot air pulled the water up. This is just the exact opposite. Put the water in so the hot air can keep flowing. Okay. Adequately preparing for the fight that's at hand, but identifying the enemy. Yeah, you know, we have people all the time that tick us off, don't you? You have anybody like that in your life? Does things tick you off? Oh, I'm not ever going to be ticked off. Well, stick around a little bit. I'm sure I can figure out some way. It's not the person. It's not that person that you focused on that you don't like. It's about the person behind that person. We need to identify who the real enemy is. We need to lay it out. You know, the first thing about that is we can't afford to misunderstand the nature of the battle. It's not against flesh and blood. So it's not against that person that ticked you off. It's against something bigger than that. What does he say there for us? He said that, you go down to verse number 11, he says you stand against the wiles down. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's not the person. That's just a manifestation of who is really behind it. He said, it's not about wrestling with flesh and blood. It's about wrestling with something far beyond that. And we have to be prepared, and we have to identify that. You know, well, Margaret left the room. Good Lord. Right when I needed her, she took off. We were watching something the other night. I can't remember. Maybe it was some 9/11 deal. But right after that, it went off, and what comes on? I know it's not WWF. What's
WWE?
Is that what it is? One of those body slammers, high slammajamas, you know, came on, fake this out, do that, you know. There's some incredible athletes on that deal. I was shocked. I mean, the flips they can do, the twist in the air, land outside the thing, all nobody's dead, you know, no blood. You don't see blood flowing everywhere. I mean, that's incredible. That's absolutely. But as fakey as that is, that's not your fight. It's not about the evil person there. Identify your enemy because he's dead set on destroying you. It won't be a fake deal. It's reality. He longs to destroy you. The second aspect of that, you need to understand that enemy. You need to understand that Satan, no matter how many times he brings something that you think is so cool or that you can't live without or that attracts your attention, that does all of those things, he's not your friend. He's not going to be any of those things. He is in the seat of power in this world today, right here on this earth right now. But he's not of earthly origin, nor of earthly power. He has a power that's way beyond what manifestation in flesh and blood. He has something that God has allowed him to have, and we need to recognize that. So the fight cannot be done by you doubling up your fist and letting him have it. It's not going to be happening anyway that way. But you've got to understand who the enemy is and how strong he is. And then you need to understand, when is the time of the conflict? When do you give in to temptation? When do you do that? Now, everybody, now listen, people, some of you are looking at me like, well, I've never done that. And what liar is sitting there now? Oh. We all know when Satan attacks us. What brings on the attack? What are we doing that allows Satan to say, I got an opportunity here? When you're alone? When you're despondent? When there's things in life are not going your way? When you don't think anybody cares? That's the time of the conflict. Do you realize that Satan does not attack in a full-blown frontal assault every day? I wonder why that would be. I think it's because he studied Patton's way of doing things, or MacArthur. You know, you got to move the troops around and everything. It takes time to get all the troops lined up for the big, big assault. Well, Satan does the same thing. Satan does not attack us every day, because if he did, we would have the Holy Spirit on us all the time, and there would be no chance for Satan. He knows that. So what does he do? He allows us to relax. We become at ease in Zion, as the Bible says. We allow ourselves to drift. We allow ourselves to get near the edge. Remember the sheepfold? The ones that stay out on the outer edge, that's the one the wolf gets. But the ones that stay close to the shepherd, they're the ones that are protected all the time. We allow ourselves to become like that sheep. We get out there on that edge, and we're not close to the shepherd. So the conflict, the timing of the conflict, is when we're out here, everything seems to be fine, and then all of a sudden, everything in the world takes place. Boom. It's all over you. How do you respond? Most people fall. The temptation comes, we give in to the temptation. You hear Bluebell calling your name. Gotta have it. You see things that you shouldn't be seeing, and you fall prey to those things. All of those things is not recognizing the timing of the conflict. God's strength is for every day. You know that? You do not have to fall. You do not have to be a victim. You can be a victor in every one of these things if you just recognize that God is there every day and makes his power available every day. Satan has to load up to make his assault on us, and sometimes we're kind of woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, and all of a sudden, bam, it hits us. But it hits us when we let up, when we don't focus on God, when everything seemingly is smooth and everything's going the way we want it to go. That's when Satan attacks. We have to be the kind of people that have prepared ourselves for the day. Have you ever been so scared that you plead the blood? Ever been there? I've been there. I mean scared. I mean absolutely scared. And you're crying out in Jesus' name, I rebuke you, Satan, get out of here. Have you ever been there? Well, if you haven't, you've never been in the fight. You're easy pickings. You're that plump little sheep standing out there on the outskirt of the whole flock. And the wolves are going, I'll get that one right there. We'll take that one right now. Some of you served in our military. Ever been in the firefight? Hopefully not. Hopefully no one ever faced that. But think about some of you that carry a concealed permit today. Maybe the gun that you have in your pocket or in your back or whatever, and I'm thankful that I have some of that. 15 rounds, maybe. That's a big gun. Carry 15 rounds. What happens if you've got 40 bad guys? Maybe, hopefully, you shoot everybody that needs to be shot first, and the rest of them get scared and run off. But it doesn't work that way. What happens if you had to put your ammunition together every day? What happens if you're down in the trench, and here comes Satan at you, but you're down there trying to load your gun? What happens? Well, you're dead meat. That's all there is to it. Aren't you glad that Jesus said, I am going to be the strength. I am the ammunition. He didn't have to work it up. He never had to load his gun because his gun was already loaded. We never have to worry about if Satan attack as long as Jesus is present all the time. As long as the Holy Spirit is our armament and has the sword and has all the things that we need, we don't have to worry about Satan. We don't have to worry about loading the gun up while he's coming to charge us. We just simply have to say, deal with him. You know, Michael said to Satan when that we read about in Jude, now I ain't gonna mess with you, you just deal with God. That is the conflict that you will face, and it will happen, and it could happen today. Maybe it's already happened. Maybe we haven't been as successful as we wanted to be. That doesn't mean that we're overrun and taken captive by Satan and never will come back. It doesn't mean that at all. It simply means that if you would have laid hold on what God is trying to give you, if you had standed fast, not in your strength, but in his strength, you would have been the victor. What's God got for us today? Do you have a successful Christian life? Do you have a kind of life that you win more than you lose? Do you have a life that God says, I'm proud of what you do? Or is it one of those that says, well, Lord, I'll do better next time? I think every one of us can relate to that. I'll do better next time. Satan is always wanting us to build our defense for the next time, but not for the time that he's attacked. Because one day, you'll be just like those at 9/11 that went into the buildings and pulled people out, never talking about them. You can be a spiritual hero any day in your spiritual walk. And at other times, you can fall flat on your face. But it wasn't because God did not prepare you. It's there for us. It's what God has provided for us. He said, just put me on. Put me on right now. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Make a stand. Stand right there. You can't advance in God's world, in God's spiritual world, without a place of a stance. You can't do it. But somewhere down the line, every one of us have to say that one thing. I am not backing up. I'm going to stand right here on what God has given to me. Paul was really good here in Ephesians chapter 6. He described our personal lives just the way they are. They're strenuous. And everybody faces those things. That Christian, you, every one of us, that name the name of Jesus Christ, what do? We go out against principalities, against powers, against the world, against flesh and blood, against the devil. But the Holy Spirit says, I have enabled you to stand and withstand. I have put it within you that you can wrestle because I wrestle through you. I put it in you that one day you will contend. And what day is that that's coming? Well, it's the day that I told you to put on the whole armor, because you're going to face up to Satan. And you're going to win if you put on the whole armor of God. You will survive the evil day if the whole armor of God is what you have and what you're living in right now. You can attack with the sword of the Spirit, best thing in the world. Plead the blood and quote scripture. And now don't pick the one-line scripture. Jesus wept. Try to get a little bit more creative than that right there. Even though that does work, just, you know, pick something else. this passage depicts our spiritual warfare, and it does it very clearly. How we take the warning and how we enact in that warning speaks everything about whether you believe God is who God says he is, that he is an overcomer for them that truly follow him, to them that truly believe in him. It was a command that we need to pay attention to. And it ended up in that 18th verse, which I could have thought should have been the very first verse that they ever said, praying always with all prayer and supplication. I'm praying that every one of us will put on the whole armor of God first. Because I'm telling you right now, what you've heard today opens the door for Satan to attack you. So you might as well get prepared this week, because it's coming. You've been warned. You've been given it. That's what God said. I want you to show him once we talk about it. Every one of us have been warned. It's coming. What are you going to do with it? I know what we need. We need to have a successful Christian life. And the only way that we're going to be there, know we have it, is when Jesus says to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You let him win the battle for you, and everything will be fine. Let's pray.